Welcome to the Election 2007 podcast interviews. In this podcast series, candidates in the May 2007 polls tell you what they think about the various issues and problems facing the country. No sound bites, just complete answers to pressing questions so you can make an informed choice in May.
Our guest for this podcast is lawyer Aquilino Pimentel III. Pimentel is running for senator under the banner of the Grand Opposition Coalition and belongs to the political party Partidong Demokratiko Pilipino, Lakas ng Bayan, or PDP Laban.
Good day to all of you.
Good day too. Our first question, JB Rufino, the editor-in-chief of the Inquirer.net, by the way. The Philippines has been chugging along economically, not really soaring as some of its Asian neighbors. What do you think are the three most important problems keeping the Philippines from feeding all its people, sending all its kids to school, and giving them all the basic needs to a decent life?
You're asking for three?
Yeah.
Well, number one is the country does not earn enough income to feed its people, send them to school, and provide the people their basic needs. So I would liken the country to a family. So the father and the mother have 82 million children, and yet the income of the household is not enough for all the needs. So that's the reason. But the solution is that our country needs to earn income for its people. And how do you do it? Well, we should be a producer society and not a consumer society. And how can we become a producer society? Which produces things, goods, services, which the world market needs or wants or will buy. So the 21st century is a scientific century, so before we can produce these goods, these services, we have to strengthen our science culture, our science education. So it's a long process, not there are no shortcuts. But yun, sa tingin ko, ang Pilipinas dapat maging producer. Ang ibig sabihin nun, merong Philippine goods na nabebenta sa iba't ibang bahagi ng mundo. Hindi pwedeng Pilipino bili lang ng bili ng made in China. Dapat may mga made in the Philippines na naibibenta natin. So, that's one solution. Second solution is, we have no choice but to follow the rule of law. The rule of law, ang ibig sabihin ng rule of law is, pantay-pantay tayong lahat sa mata ng batas. We know our rights. The policies are predictable. We can also be sure that we can enforce our rights within a certain period of time, not our whole lifetime. So, if we follow the rule of law, I believe that, quote-unquote, stability will be promoted. So, kasama na dyan ang political stability, because an accurate vote count is really part of rule of law, because the law says that election votes must be counted accurately, honestly, and promptly. That's part of the law. And if you break that electoral rule, you're not following the rule of law. So rule of law will promote stability, including political stability, plus the stability brought by peace and order, improved peace and order, plus the stability brought by predictability of policies. Predictability that rights can be enforced. Okay. The third one to answer all of these problems, in my opinion, would be, alam mo, we have to promote the culture of sharing. It's time for the rich, the middle class, and the upper class to help the poor, because the poor are in survival mode. Pang ano na sila, isang kahig, isang tuka, ni hindi na nakakapanaginip ng isang magandang bukas. The poor, the Filipino poor, only live for today. Happy na sila na makasurvive sila ngayong araw. So I have a model. My model is the Gawad Kalinga. The Gawad Kalinga is, I think, the new template for development. Sundin dapat yan ng gobyerno. Ito, this is one good example where the private sector has shown the government what the government should do. So my one of my advocacies is for the government to follow, or support muna, for the government to support Gawad Kalinga, and now to follow, adopt the template of Gawad Kalinga. So I hope I have answered your question.
One follow-up. Do you believe all of this achievable?
Oh, yes, of course. But of course, I know that all of these changes, which I foresee, will come after the passage of a certain amount of time, because yung productivity na lang, before we can be, the Philippines can be productive with goods needed by the world, the rest of the world, we have to strengthen our science education. So I'm not talking to those who have already graduated. I'm talking to 5-year-olds and then in the kindergarten. So, but we should do some generational thinking. So we should not all be impatient, because if we are impatient, we will answer the problems superficially, and then nothing really substantive has happened. So ako, si Attorney Coco Pimentel, I would like to propose programs which look at the next generation of Filipinos. So some generational thinking is needed.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Coco. I'm Lynette Luna, yes, editor of Breaking News. And considering that this is the first elective position that you're going to run for, why the Senate?
At the national level.
At the national level. Why the Senate?
Well, Lynette, this is actually the second elective position I'm running for. I ran for a local post in 2001 and was beaten by the incumbent in Cagayan de Oro City. So, well, if you have heard my plans are policies. I want some change in policies or some emphasis on policies. So I believe that, you know, under a rule of law regime, policies are embodied in laws. Laws. So I don't want to propose laws good only for a certain geographic area, which our congressmen are more prone to propose. So I'm going for the Senate so that I will look at the problems of the country at the macro level, so at the national level.
You are a lawyer, no? And because you're a lawyer, so you have a distinct advantage over your other colleagues in being able to implement laws which you think would be good for the country. Now, aside from this, what other qualifications do you think you have for us, for the public, to be able to vote for you as senator?
So you're correct, Lynette. No, because I'm a lawyer, so I'm used to reading the law, arguing on the basis of the law. I can even write laws and capture my ideas into laws. No? But aside from that, you know, one advantage is that I come from Mindanao. Mindanao needs to be represented in any legislative body which is supposed to be representative of the people, and I'm the only candidate in the opposition slate from Mindanao, so that's a distinct advantage. Number three, you know, I've held some responsible positions in socio-civic groups, so I've been active in the JCs, in the Rotary. I've been around the Philippines. I have participated in the five past national elections of Senator Nene Pimentel. So I know the situation in the countryside. I know the condition of the Filipinos. I know their problems. I also live in a middle-class subdivision in Marikina, which has no guards and no gates. So people, you know, people who press our doorbell, and I get to talk to them. So I know the problems of the people. So problems are the biggest problem of the Filipino people now is poverty. So poverty, so they find the cost of living so high, so it's either nangungutang, outright aid or grant or assistance ang hinihingi. So I think I'm a lawyer who knows the problems of the Filipino people. But not all, but most, and the most fundamental, I know.
If elected, how will you define your term in the Senate? Like, which issues would you focus on? Which causes would you espouse? Would you take after your father's causes? Or would you, you know, make your own?
Coco Pimentel is Pimentel version 2.0i. So, meaning to say, if you know the first Pimentel, that is Nene Pimentel. He is Pimentel version 1.0. So, I'm version 2.0. Meaning to say that if you know Nene Pimentel, Coco Pimentel would most likely be espousing the same issues of Nene Pimentel, like fighting for our basic freedoms, the respect for our freedoms. And then number two, of course, local autonomy, which is the legacy of Senator Pimentel. Well, you have to strengthen the cooperatives, because I also believe that the cooperatives are effective vehicles to improve the economic lives of our people. But what's that I at the end? It's like a cell phone, no? It's like parang bagong cell phone na may I. That distinguishes me from my father, because Coco Pimentel belongs to the internet generation or the iPad generation. And the I can also stand for invention, innovation. Yun yung difference namin ng father ko. I'm really more of a scientific person than Nene Pimentel, because before I took up law at the UP College of Law, I graduated with a degree of degree in BS Mathematics from the Ateneo de Manila University. So my aptitude is really in science. So that's the I. That's the Pimentel version 2.0 I.
Hello, sir. I'm Lira Fernandez. I'm covering the administration slate. I was just texting your father a while ago, and I already have an answer to the questions, but this time I want to hear it from you.
Yes.
What's your view on political dynasty? And doesn't it bother you that if ever you'll get elected, it's because of your name?
Political dynasty is a non-issue because there is no definition. And it does not bother me if I get elected on the name Pimentel, because I'm proud to have that name because of the track record behind the name, behind the brand name. My father has been in public service since 1970, so that's close to 36 years of unblemished public service. So I'm proud of my father's record plus his achievements. So during the time of martial law, when it was dangerous to stand up for our freedoms and our liberties, Nene Pimentel was there, and he suffered for this. He went to jail 4 times. And don't you think his children also suffered when they were growing up? They had no father. So, well, we also suffered. And then now that we are in normal times, and Nene Pimentel became a legislator, he crafted some landmark legislations. One is the cooperative code, and number two, which is more popular, is the local government code. That is why he is known as the ama ng local government code. So I'm proud of the track record of my father. I don't mind winning on the basis of his name, but I will also tell the people that I have some qualifications on my own. And I also have a program of government which I will pursue once I get elected to the Senate. So among my qualifications would be, I'm a lawyer. I topped the 1990 bar exam, number one. And, you know, I have exposure in socio-civic work. I also have a short government exposure as the commissioner representing Mindanao in the National Youth Commission. So, but that was only a 3-year stint in the NYC.
Can you expand further on saying that it's a non-issue, the political dynasty?
Because the Constitution states the provision this way, no? The state shall guarantee equal access to opportunities for public service and shall prohibit political dynasties as may be defined by law. So, if we look at the constitutional provision, the provision contains 2 parts. One, the state to ensure equal access to opportunities for public service. Number two, prohibition of political dynasties after we have defined what is the meaning of the term. Unfortunately, that provision is already 20 years old. There is no definition under any law as to what is political dynasty. So, if political dynasty is not clear, then we cannot prohibit something which is not clear. So it's really a non-issue, because what is effective right now is part one of that provision, and that the state shall guarantee equal access to opportunities for public service. And that is what Coco Pimentel is taking advantage of, the equal access to opportunities for public service.
But others may also take advantage of it. Those who has the name but who doesn't have the qualification.
Yes, but it is not up for me to disqualify them upon filing because I believe that they are not qualified. So in the end, elections are decided by the people, assuming an accurate count. The people will decide in the end who gets to sit in the Senate because a Senate seat is a gift from the people. So ganun din yun. I have no right to say that another kamag-anak is not qualified. Let the people decide on that particular issue. As long as the basic qualifications in the Constitution are present, yung age, ability to read and write, citizenship, and residence.
So what will be your stand if there's a pending bill in the Senate? And how will you define it?
Good question. I have my own idea. So just as there are thousands of other people with their own definition of what is political dynasty, I have my own. And this is what I will push for if ever I get to be a legislator. Number one, I will first limit the position. I will look at the office of the president. Bakit? Because that is the most powerful position in the entire government bureaucracy. So what is the evil sought to be prevented by the anti-dynasty provision? It is the unfair advantage of the vast resources of the office. In the office of the president, there are billions of pesos in the social fund, the intelligence fund, the discretionary fund, a lot of other funds, calamity fund, etc. Billions of pesos to be spent at the discretion of the president. So I believe that if we start with the office of the president as the position, and then define the degree of relationship whom we will disqualify from running. So in my opinion, it should extend up to first cousin of the president, or the president's husband or wife, as the case may be, up to the first cousin. So that's fourth civil degree of relationship. So I will disqualify up to the first cousin of the sitting president from running for any elective public office from barangay Kagawad up to senator. But of course, this is prospective. So I will not even criticize the sitting president, even though she has established her own dynasty. I will not criticize her, in fairness to her, because there is also no law. Just as I don't want to be criticized because there is no law. So I will not criticize her. So my plan is, if this idea becomes a law, it will be effective and binding on the president we shall elect in 2010.
Hi sir, I'm Myla. I'm covering you and the rest of the opposition. It seems that everybody wants to join politics now. So my question is, what will make you leave politics?
Well, if the people will tell me that they don't like my ideas, they don't want to travel with me in this difficult journey of improving the lives of our people, including my own life and their lives, so if they clearly tell me that, then I will leave politics. But even if I leave politics, my thinking is that I could still be a good citizen. So when I say leave politics, quote-unquote, ang meaning nun is, hindi na ako magiging kandidato, but it doesn't mean that I will be indifferent to government policies, I will be indifferent to governmental decisions. I will still be involved, but leaving politics means I will no longer be a candidate.
What if the system that you want, you are not going to pursue it when you're in the Senate? So how it's going to be? Are you going to still pursue your political career?
If
the system that you want will not push through, will you still pursue your political career because of frustration, out of frustration?
But so one thing is clear, no? I don't get easily frustrated. Kasi nakita ko sa buhay ng tatay ko eh. Si Senator Nene Pimentel, apat na beses kinulong, eh, hindi nang surrender eh. Ako nga mismo, since teenager ako noon eh, may mga doubts ako. Siyempre, nagre-rebelde rin ang teenager eh. Sabi ko, ano ba itong, bakit ang tatay ko lumalaban sa napakalakas na government figure? Eh, hindi siya frustrated. Walang sumusuporta. Delikadong kaibiganin siya. Pumunti ang kaibigan niya. But he did not get frustrated. So, So I will not get easily frustrated, because in the life of Senator Pimentel, I saw that in the end, he was vindicated for all of his sufferings and all of his sacrifices. So I will cross the bridge when I get there, Myla. Hindi ko muna sagutin yung tanong mo.
Well, you're in the position right now, but how do you want to see the Estrada's case end?
Okay. Since I am a lawyer and I know the basic structure of our government, I'm running for senator. That's the legislative branch. The case of Estrada belongs to the judicial branch, and there is a wall of separation between the two branches. As an aspiring senator, I should not comment on cases pending before courts. I will let the justices of the Sandigan Bayan objectively and impartially decide the case of President Joseph Estrada. But since, on a personal note, since ERAP is my wedding sponsor, ninong ko, I wish him all the best. And my wish is for him to be acquitted.
I am Joel. I cover the defense beat. Sir, will you push for constitutional reforms in your first 3 years in office?
I don't know. But open to? Yes, I'm open to. But whether to push it, because I'm assuming that for the next 3 years, it will still be Gloria Macapagal Arroyo who will be there as president. So no to Chacha under Gloria. That is my stand. But I have an open mind because I belong to this political party, PDP Laban, and one of our advocacies is the adoption of a federal form of government, which we cannot achieve without changing the constitution. So we are open.
But do you think there's a need to shift from the presidential system to the parliamentary form?
Shifting to presidential to parliamentary is another issue. I'm open, but not under Gloria. No tinkering, changing the constitution under Gloria because of possible insertion of a hidden agenda.
So after the custody battle for Daniel Smith, do you think there's a need to review the VFA?
Oh, yes, there is a need to review the VFA. Maybe there's a need to repeal or get out of the VFA. So more than just a review.
Why, sir?
Well, it's totally one-sided as interpreted by our own executive branch. But I have my own interpretation that the executive branch wrongly interpreted the VFA. When the Makati court convicted Smith, the court should be given now the power, the discretion to order him detained in a facility agreed upon by both governments, but which should be within the jurisdiction of the court. That is the proper, in my opinion, the proper interpretation of the VFA provision. But since it has been interpreted, but since the provision is possible to be interpreted that way, as interpreted by our own executive branch, which was detrimental to the interest of a Filipino citizen, then I am calling for the scrapping of the VFA.
Sir, what's your agenda for the ill-equipped and politicized military?
Number one, the military should not be politicized. So military should be insulated from partisan politics. But they should not be prevented from being good citizens. They could have opinions on different issues as long as they don't take sides as military men, as military people. And regarding equipment, we should now improve the capability of our military, but as a defensive military, because offensive war is not an instrument of our national policy that is in our constitution. So we should equip our military enough to be an effective defensive military.
How do you insulate the soldiers from politics from your end?
Well, number one, we should not give the military election duties. Number two, they should not be tapped to take sides on political issues. So the military should just analyze the regional situation. The military should analyze the internal peace and order situation of the Philippines. The military should just focus on continuing training of its people, the improvement of its communication systems, the flow charting of orders, etc., etc. But not to take sides, not to lobby for appointments. Because once military people start lobbying for positions or promotions, then here comes the utang na loob. So when the appointing power now calls on the favor, and the call is of political nature, then the military becomes politicized because he has to deliver on the political request of the patron.
So how do you do that, sir? Since officers have to pass through the commission on appointments, and there have been proposals that only the most senior officers should pass through the CA, so they won't be indebted to the senators.
There's nothing wrong with the present setup, but it could still be improved. I'm willing to listen to other proposals. What I'm against is the lobbying of the officers for promotion. Because once you ask for the promotion and it's given to you, then you will have this utang na loob to this person who appointed you or who granted you or gave you a favor. So yun ang dapat wala. I mean, it's like the military should follow the rotary. In the rotary, it is not the man who seeks the position. It is the position which seeks the man. So ganon. So if you're really deserving of promotion, there will be a system for you to get that position. You don't have to lobby to politicians to get that position.
So, sir, in the National Defense Act, there's a provision saying that only the commanders of the major services would pass through the CA when at present those colonels and up.
Yeah.
Are you in favor of that?
That's a good reform measure, but since that is a law and we're talking about the Constitution, let me check on the constitutionality of that law, because a law cannot amend the Constitution. But when it's time to amend our Constitution, we should take another look at that provision on the need for the confirmation from the Commission on Appointments.
Sir, what's your stand on artificial means of population control?
You know, I just signed the pro-life agenda, and the pro-life agenda is against the promotion of the artificial ways to prevent conception. So I'm against that. But if it's natural, we just persuade the people to control by natural means the size of their families. I have no objection to that. Just persuading people, convincing people.
Natural method is working in the Philippine context, or are you just taking the stand, especially since the church is against it?
It's not really that important to me, because what's wrong with having a large population? I don't attribute poverty to the large population. As a matter of fact, the large population is human capital, which is needed in increasing our productivity. So I'm not... basta ako, if there is need to manage the population growth of our country, we do it by persuading, convincing our people to limit, manage the size of their families through natural methods, not the artificial methods.
Okay, so what's wrong with contraception?
Well, una sa lahat, it's against our religious teaching. Then number two, if the government should spend resources on condoms and other artificial contraptions to prevent conception, I think the money is better spent building schools, and if there are already schools, building laboratories in schools where there are no laboratories, so that we can promote science education and then establish the science culture that I have for so long wished to see in the Philippines.
International human rights organizations already expressed concern over the wave of unabated killings in the Philippines. How about you, sir? What is your take on the spate of political and journalist killings?
Well, I'm also concerned. Number one, if journalists are being killed systematically, then this is an attack on the freedom of the press, which is guaranteed in our constitution. And if you take a look at the non-journalist victims, mostly these are poor people, but activist people, you know, poor but involved people. So why are we punishing our people just because they are poor and they want to be involved? So, but I cannot still blame any person or any entity or establishment as being responsible for all of these killings. What I know is that under international law and even under our own social contract with our government, the people and the government has the obligation to protect its people from a pattern of systematic liquidation of people who want to be involved in governance.
So once elected, how do you plan to address this problem?
Well, of course, in the Senate, you have a national forum if necessary. I can deliver a privileged speech to denounce a person or an establishment once I have proof, because I'm a lawyer, I need proof. And then, of course, if an investigation is called for this purpose, I will ask pointed and searching questions so that we will arrive at the truth and find out who is behind this systematic liquidation of involved persons.
Do you believe there is a national policy regarding these killings?
I cannot say that at the moment, because a national policy should be written. if verbal, then there should be a recording to prove it. What I could see is that, as a scientist, no, the only pattern I could see is that those who have been killed are persons who are involved in governance, be it at the local or national level. So why were they punished for their involvement? That is the question I want to be answered.
And do you promise, once you get a seat at the Senate, do you promise to try dig the answers?
Yes, of course. Together with the help of the other senators.
Sir, are you in favor of passing laws for gay and lesbian rights? Why or why not? You know, this is a growing population. So, what's your take on that side?
What rights are they requesting? That is the first. I will not just propose a bill without consulting the sector. I need to consult the sector. So I'll ask them, what are the rights that you feel that you don't have right now? Because the world is divided into male and female. So the laws govern male and female, or the laws are even supposed to apply equally to both male and female. So I need to talk to them. What are your rights which you think are not yet covered by these laws covering equally both male and female? So they have to tell me. And then if I agree, I will help them. But if I don't agree, I will tell them I don't agree.
Fixer, would you agree that transsexuals or gays and lesbians would have their own comfort room at a public, let's say a public a mall?
Yeah, that's a good. I have an open mind because they need to tell me, because I use the male comfort room, the male CR, diba? And I don't feel anything. I don't feel threatened. So they tell me, I will now ask them, bakit ba? Ano bang problema kung sa male CR ka pumunta? May problema ba? Then they will now have to tell me kung if I see na, oh, kawawa naman nga kayo kung ganyan pala ang nangyayari, then maybe this is just a physical setup anyway.
Hi, sir. I'm Erwin Oliva. I write for the Infotech section, technology section, and my questions would be on the techie side. So my first question is, how do you intend to use technology for your campaign?
Yeah, maganda ang tanong. Because I love science and technology. Well, of course, number one, website. And then number two, I still don't know the technology behind this, but if I could conduct a video conference over the web, ayan. And then of course I'm open to having also a press conference via chat or that video conference over the web, and then email blasting, what else, texting of course, and then yung sa ano, sa Skype, yung ganun, that
voice over IP with
video. Yeah, it can be done with video. So I want to publish a certain time of the day when, you know, they can Skype me. I'll be there waiting for, you know, a calls over Skype, ganun. So I plan to take full advantage of existing technology, which I could get some tech wizards to help me run or implement.
Sir, what are your thoughts about automating the elections? There are now plans of pushing through it, although there are some troubles with the law.
Right? Not for this May 2007 elections, because the time to prepare is too short. And I am for fully automating the election process, but I will start with pilot areas, pilot polling centers. And when I say pilot, the computerized system will be implemented, but there is a counter check by manual counting. So we will see if the system is accurate or not.
How do you describe, or how would you evaluate how COMELEC is doing it? Its plans on automating the elections? I mean, how would
No, I'm not paying attention to COMELEC's plans right now, because we are going to have a 100% manual election this May. So maybe after the May 2007 elections, hopefully as a senator, I will now listen to the COMELEC and then cross-examine them on what they intend to do to automate the polls. But unfortunately, the COMELEC has a tainted record in its effort to automate the elections. So maybe after the elections, regardless of whether the count is honest or dishonest, we need to change some of the COMELEC officials. Let's take out all of those involved in the previous failed bidding, mm-hmm. where more than a billion pesos of the people's money have not yet been returned to the Filipino people.
On a general standpoint, sir, what are your? Do you have any platform for the IT industry?
Of course, that's part of my science agenda. So, the IT industry should be fully supported. IT corridor, etc., etc. Let IT be everywhere. Let all of us be connected to the web if we so want. I'm still thinking of maybe the Philippines should have its own intranet, so that, you know, when we get affected by this earthquake in Taiwan, we can still communicate with our brothers in Mindanao without having to let the signal pass through Taiwan and US and back to Mindanao. So there must be, but somebody told me that there is a Philippine intranet. Unfortunately, we have not taken advantage of it, so we need to, you know, all of these IT resources already available but not known to many people should now be, you know, announced to the entire the Filipino people, and maybe they can use me as the person who will now start using all of these resources so that people will know.
Yeah, do you have any specific agenda for the people who don't have access to technology?
Well, we have to make technology or the use of computers and surfing the web available to our young school children at the earliest possible time. As a matter of fact, I believe that we can give our school children a real-time internet surfing experience without being connected to the internet. Because I have also learned that storage cost has gone down. So therefore, we could take advantage of this by storing websites. Then, you know, let the children in the far-flung barangays experience surfing. But their data would be, let's say, 5 to 7 days old, because they will just have to update every Monday or whatever. So, but you know, we start exposing them, then maybe we could spot some geniuses who will now develop applications or e-commerce over the internet. So who knows?
Talking about science, sir, which is your favorite subject, our science in the Philippines is not well funded right now.
Yes.
A lot of the projects, and most of our scientists end up working abroad.
So yes.
How do you intend to solve this perennial problem of the science community here?
Yeah, Binel, number one is kulang na nga tayo ng scientists nag-abroad pa. So with the strengthening of the science education at the earliest levels of school, I hope to multiply the scientific community in the country. So kahit umalis ang let's say 100 scientists, may naiwan pang 10,000. Ang problema ngayon, pag umalis yung 100, naiwan 100 na lang eh. Kasi 200 lang sila. That's the problem. So yun na muna, the pool of scientific, the entire country will be a scientifically inclined country. So the pool of scientists will definitely increase exponentially. So therefore, I'm sure that if our scientists will have 100,000 inventions and then 2,000 of them will be commercially viable, then that's good for the country. What is happening now, we have a very small pool of scientists. They only invent 2,000 items, and then only 2 will be commercially viable. So that is what is happening. So that is why the Philippines is not earning as much as it should be earning, because of our lack of science culture. So I will be all out for our scientific community. But I want the rest of the population to also be interested in science. Not to convert all Filipinos into scientists, but to increase the level of their knowledge in science, develop in our people inquisitive minds. Number 3, develop objectivism or objectivity in our people, because that's a scientific mind. You observe a phenomenon, you come up with your explanation, your hypothesis, you conduct experiments, you collect data, you analyze the data. And if the data is against your hypothesis, you will tell yourself, I was wrong. That is being objective. And that is what we need in our country.
One final question for me, sir. One of the issues in science is intellectual property.
Mm.
What are your thoughts on protecting intellectual property in terms of trademarks or even software or other intellectual property rights?
Of course, I'm in favor of protecting intellectual property. Unfortunately for our country, we entered into such a regime at a time when we had no pool of intellectual property to protect. So we are, let's say the United States, they have 5,000 protected patents. And then they signed this treaty, and then the Philippines also signed, and we have 1,000 protected patents. So we could not even copy or touch now or play around with the 5 million protected patents of the US. So while we only have 1,000 ideas which they could not touch, they cannot play around with. So, but anyway, we are under such a regime already, because that's a treaty, that's a convention. So we have no choice now but to improve our science education, produce more scientifically inclined people, produce more inventors and scientists, so that we could take advantage of the regime, the intellectual property protection regime, and now register our own inventions. Otherwise, if we don't strengthen our science, walang mag-iimbento. Then signing the regime was meaningless to us. We just tied our hands. We could not even now take advantage of the foreigners' intellectual properties.
Good evening, Coco. I'm Joey Alarilia, and I edit our Hack and Slash gaming site and our Inquire.net video channel. I was just struck by what you said earlier, that you're Pimentel version 2.0i. So I was just wondering what kind of gadgets you enjoy using and, you know, what sites you visit, since you're very much part of the internet generation.
Cell phones, that's where I noticed the eye crop up, no? And then, of course, this eye I saw in the latest operating systems. Basically, I visit the Inquirer.net site. That's my default homepage. And I'm a subscriber to the alert email of that site. And, of course, CNN and Friendster.com. To keep up with my friends over
what's
the
internet. Friendster ID?
My friendster name is Coco, K-O-K-O. And once in a while, Skype, you know, to talk to my sister in the U.S. and avoid paying the costly long-distance phone rates. No? I'm really a gadget guy. I love gadgets, but I have refrained from buying the new ones because for lack of time. Because before I use something, I want to read the manual. And I've noticed now there's no more manual. It's all online, right? So my latest purchase was a cell phone with, I think with a, ano ba tawag, the Pixel. High resolution camera. So basically, that's my latest purchase.
Thanks. One of the great things about things like the podcast that we're doing now, and you know, the use of online tools, is that you get to talk to the Filipinos who are in other countries. So, do you see the absentee voters really playing a crucial role in this election? Since now you can educate them on the issues,
you can reach
out to them wherever
yes.
they are.
There are two kinds of absentee voters. Number one is the absentee voter within the Philippines. No? These are the people working in a place where they are not registered. So basically our military people. And then the second kind of absentee voter are registered voters who are working abroad. And they play a crucial role because I think not less than 700,000 of our brother Filipinos and Filipinas working abroad would be voting, but still manually, ha? Mga kaibigan, ha? Manual pa rin ang voting ninyo kahit nasa high tech kayong bansa like Germany or Japan or the United States. The voting is still manual, but because of their number, 700,000, and I think the candidates for senator will from 1 up to, let's say, 16th place will not be apart by more than 300 to 500,000 votes. And if our OFW voters number 700,000, then they will really make a difference. But I think they should be involved in the campaign. They should make their opinions known, because these are the people who have been exposed to rule of law regimes, especially those in Europe, in the United States. So I want them as my allies in espousing the rule of law, that we need to observe the rule of law in the Philippines. And they could tell their kababayan, their kamag-anak, na oo, maganda rito sa Germany kasi ang mga tao rito, lahat sumusunod sa batas, lahat pantay-pantay sa ilalim ng batas. So therefore, lahat susunod, lahat hindi iniisahan yung kanyang kapwa. So that is very important. So I need the help of our OFWs to convince their relatives and their province mates that we really have to observe the rule of law. And also, marami rin mga kababayan natin nasa abroad ang tumutulong din sa Gawad Kalinga. Iisa rin po yan sa aking mga programa de gobyerno.
Coco, in the US, we've seen presidential hopefuls Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton launch their campaigns through their websites, through a video, instead of, let's say, going on TV. We've also seen powerful candidates, powerful politicians like George Allen, have their campaigns destroyed by a clip which circulated on YouTube, which was racist. So, do you also see technology playing a crucial role in these elections? Like, you know, we have politicians now who are trying to court bloggers, or maybe are you also considering blogging yourself? You
know, yes. Oh, I have always wanted to start a blog, but I always thought that a special program would be needed, so I did not start because I only know how to use, you know, this word processing program, but I will research on that, no, once I have the time. I think the web will play an increased role in this election compared to its role in the previous elections, but still the number one medium would be TV. Followed, in my opinion, TV, followed by radio, and then print, and then maybe cable, and then number five would be the internet. But it's there, no? It's there, and the influence will slowly grow, especially if computers will be available to more households, plus the exposure to web surfing, which I hope, because of my focus on science, our children of school age at the youngest possible age will already be exposed on how to do or trained on how to do.
Okay, and this is my last question, and it's a personal one, so I would understand if you don't want to answer the question. Do you play video games?
I used to.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I stopped when I was 34. I'm now 43, so I've not played for 9 years. I'm very good in Space Invaders, Asteroids, and then some recent ones. When you get the 10-in-1 CD, I've been exposed to playing video games. I like playing video games.
You should get Brain Age on the DS.
That's a new one.
It's
a
IQ.
Ah, that's a nice one. Even Pandora's Box. Yeah. I have that. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I'm JV Rufino again. One of the things I also do in the website is handle some of the business news. Would you look into further increasing taxes to improve financial and economic stability?
No. As a matter of fact, I want to reform our tax system, possibly lower the rates, and possibly limit the number of taxes which we are imposing. So, but this topic needs further study and a deep study, and we need to consult tax experts. No? But I am not in favor of additional taxes because, as I've stated earlier, I've been around the country. I know the situation of the Filipino people. They could not bear additional taxes. Unless, of course, we just tax the rich. I'm open to that idea.
Okay. In the spirit of transparency then, how much in personal income tax did you pay in the past 6 years?
I can compute that because I have an Excel file where there's a total sum for even for the past 10 years. But I don't recall the exact figure. But it's there in my Excel file.
Will you provide it later?
Yes.
Okay. How much?
By email, lah.
By email.
By email, yeah. Okay. By email.
How much do you tend to spend in this election?
Well, I will try my best to keep my expenses low, because in the first place, I don't have the money to spend. So even if I want to spend, there's no money to spend. So I have really no choice. But my father spent 18 million in 2004. And he was already a sitting senator. Then maybe Coco Pimentel, who is an outsider, will raise maybe just not more than that amount.
And where will this money come from?
From friends, my Rotarian friends have already started pledging, but you know there's a big difference between pledge and actual cash. But you know, from friends, and then from family, and then from some supporters. Mm-hmm. But supporters who have been known to me or to my family for a long period of time, not some new face.
Don't you think that you would be beholden to these people? once you're a senator?
Well,
pay them back somehow.
Number one, if ever I will accept financial support, I want that there shall be no strings attached. That should be very, very clear. Number two, I will not accept any help from someone whom I will, who I know will expect repayment of his assistance. So that's why I mentioned earlier that, you know, my fellow Rotarians who are close to me, we have been friends for 12 years, and then some JC friends who have been my friends for the past 15 years, my high school classmates from the Ateneo, my family, and of course, friends of my family who are already old friends. So I would be, I would not be that open to accepting financial help from someone who is a new face. Unless, of course, I will have to interview him the same way that you have interviewed me. So I will have to ask him, why are you helping me? Why all of a sudden I now see you in our camp? And, you know, my father has run in five national elections, and I didn't see your face. How come I see your face now? So these types of questions.
Are you willing to disclose the who contributed to your campaign and how much?
I'm willing, and it's also required. That is why when someone says that he wants to give me financial support, I will have to issue a receipt for that support. So that's what we do. So we have it's an informal receipt, but anyway, that receipt keeps track of what amounts have been contributed to my campaign.
An informal receipt,
Receipt. It's not really a BIR registered receipt because that's not required. So it's just like, let's say it's a Pimentel for Senator Movement receipt. So we write down. Then of course we have a duplicate. So when we now make our report to the COMELEC, we have to add this up and then preserve the receipts, because just in case the COMELEC would want to go beyond the report and take a look at the receipts.
What holds more importance, national sovereignty or international commitments, security or human rights?
But again, national security, national sovereignty,
international commitments, and then or security or human rights.
Human rights, for me, that's the most important. Mm-hmm. And then, because if our human rights are observed and respected, then national sovereignty will automatically follow. We will have national sovereignty. And then international commitments are subject to the principle of national sovereignty. So therefore, if there is now a clash, let's say, between a provision in a treaty and our constitution, in my opinion, our constitution will prevail over that treaty provision.
I see. Finally, my last question. What Philippine law should be amended or repealed?
A lot of laws like amended. For example, our tax laws. The expanded value-added tax should be repealed or amended, because it's unfair. Maybe repeal. I want to repeal the EVAT, but if I could not achieve that, then I will have to amend it. I will have to just compromise and go for amendment. Amendment on the rate. Lower the rate from 12 to 5%. And then expand the exempt transactions. Expand the non-covered transactions. So I'm for tax reform, so we have to take a look at there are many taxation laws, so those are the laws which need to be repealed or amended. And then of course I want to take a look at the revised penal code. That's an archaic piece of legislation, effective 1930s. So the penalty for stealing pandesal is already a month in prison. So it's so unfair, because the cost of the, there's a crime there, theft, where the cost of the object stolen determines the penalty. And of course, if the cost is cheap now, in 2007, that was dear or pricey in 1930. So you will suffer a lot. So for a piece of pandesal costing 2.50 or 5 pesos, It's only a pandesal in 2007. So our sense of fairness tells us that you should not spend a month for a 5 peso item you stole, right? Especially if you were hungry. But since the law was crafted in 1932, that 5 peso item was already a piece of jewelry. So you will really spend already 30 days in jail. So there is really... There are many laws which should be revisited, and the revised penal code is one of them.
Final question. Pork barrel. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, number one, if possible, if we can eliminate it, but including the office of the president. Okay? The office of the president should also not have pork barrel. Okay? The office of the president should execute. The office of the president should execute programs of the government which are funded specifically by the General Appropriations Act. Okay, so if possible, tanggalin. But let's say this is majority decision. The majority decides that it is legal and they want it there, reduce the amount. That's the second step.
By how much?
Depends. For now, I think now it's 100 million per senator and 65 million per congressman. Then maybe per senator, let's make it 50 million. Congressman, 20 to 35 million. 20 million, okay. Reduce. Then number three, if they agree or not agree, this proposal can coexist with the previous proposals. Just provide a very specific menu of projects from which the legislator can choose, but not really spend the money. It should really be the executive which should implement the program. So the legislator will just be consulted as to how the said pork barrel shall be implemented. So, and then if nothing will work, and then the pork barrel is still there, perfectly legal, use it properly. Okay, so how do you use your pork barrel properly? Number one, if you receive a request, find out if the requested project is really the priority project in that area. It's really actually needed by the people living in the area. If yes, then I'm open to funding it. Second step, look at the budget. Is the budget realistic or too bloated? If it's realistic, then give it. Number three, supervise. When you say supervise, just assign somebody, ask the barangay captain, ask the mayor, or ask the PTA president, or ask a friend to monitor the implementation of the project. Because it could be a needed project or well budgeted, but still ends up as a ghost project. So even the implementation of the project should be monitored and supervised.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for this historic press conference. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Election 2007 podcast of Inquirer.net. No part of this podcast may be reproduced without the written consent of Inquirer.net. For more information, comments, or suggestions, you can email us at election2007podcast@inquirer.net. That's ELEKSYON2007podcast@inquirer.net. Produced by Creative Voices Productions. All rights reserved, 2007.